for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
998-1003 in the Rude Man Can Hotline. 262-8222. Got a lot to get into. Our thanks to the head coaches. In our number one, Jay Ullman, the Tulane Green Wave. He chimed in, talked about Tulane baseball. Blake Dean, 12:15. 12:30, Mike Silva. We've had some fun with Christian Clark, who's in Brooklyn looking at the Pelicans and Nets tonight. 6:30 on Bally's. 6:30 as it is an East Coast game. And we've been playing sound that makes you think that you're in Bizarro World as we bring in Sean Fazan from Fox 8. Sir, I don't know if you've been seeing it, but Screamin' A, Skip Bayless was talking about some guy off the bench named Alvarez. I'm assuming he meant Alvarado. But Screamin' A and J.J. Redick talking NBA Finals and the Pels, all of that, man. I know you guys have some Pels games still to come. Dude, it's crazy. 15 games here. If they win tonight, it'll be win number 42.
That's something, huh? I mean, it really is interesting how it's sort of swung back in that direction to where they're playing as good a basketball as any team in the NBA, and being led by their star player that a lot of people have been sort of waiting to come around and be the player that he's become right now. So it's been incredible to watch, and a lot of doubters have crept back on to the Pelicans bandwagon, if you will. And, you know, they're starting to use the finals word, which I'm not sure I'm ready to go there, but yeah. Nonetheless, the positive swing to close out this regular season, the back stretch of this regular season, certainly something to really monitor.
Well, Sean, all you want, man, is that the team is competitive and that these games matter towards the end of the year. It's exciting for us. It's great for fans. It's what you want when it comes to the New Orleans Saints again. It's been a while, sir, since they've been in the postseason. And since we last talked, it was crickets. It was, where are the Saints? Mm-hmm. The moves, what are they doing? And yesterday, a bit of surprise or not, Chase Young being signed by the team, 1 year, $13 million.
Yeah, you can't complain about this one, Gus. I mean, this is a premier name at a premier position at a position of need, and it's hard to check all those boxes off when it comes to the second week of free agency at the price the Saints and the contract the Saints got Chase Young at. So the Saints needed help on that edge pass rusher. It was arguably their biggest need. If not, it wasn't one, it was 1A outside of that offensive tackle. And, you know, he was the guy that took a trip to Carolina, and I think a lot of people got nervous when the visit that was supposed to happen was Thursday or Friday, got rescheduled or replanned or whatever it was, that perhaps he had second thoughts. And lo and behold, he's at Chaman Alamer in the Four Seasons Sunday night with a bunch of Saints coaches and players, and they're recruiting him. And he didn't leave town without the contract. So they identified a player, like I said before, a name people recognize, a guy that really started off his career fast. I know last year he had decent stats, 7.5 sacks. I know some have been a little bit down on him, but nonetheless, he's a guy that the Saints pinpointed, and they wined him and dined him, and he chose to stay, or he chose to sign with the Saints at a position of need. So as quiet as it's been, and when I say quiet, it was almost to the point of, like, you guys know free agency started, right? Because it was that quiet.
Right.
You know, kind of stand pat and then be a little selective and then strike in week two with a guy like Chase Young. I think they deserve credit for this one.
So, but look, here's the thing. He's a second overall pick back in the day. And to your point, when he started, man, he was something else with Washington. And you could see that talent. Injuries have hurt them, and maybe that's why you can get them at this price and what you have. You mentioned his sack totals last year and some of the pressures I saw Pro Football Focus New Orleans had, 74 pressures on that. I mean, get you anything, because that's been such a, let's just be honest, a void at the opposite end where Cam Jordan is for some seasons. Now, what does that mean, though, for Peyton Turner, for Granderson, for Isaiah Foskey? What does that mean? I mean, you're not paying somebody $13 million to try to compete for snaps, right?
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they've tried and tried. It hasn't been for a lack of investment in that position to try to get someone opposite of Cam Jordan. And now you've run into the inevitability of, okay, well, Cam's not going to be around forever. And I think we saw some signs of that last year when he was injured towards the end of the year, how his snaps, you know, greatly diminished. He became a first and second down player. So now you have a guy that's got some a proven track record, at least proven enough to where You can trust him, you know, on the field. I think Peyton Turner is really the one you got to watch in terms of, hey, man, you better bring it this training camp, because I'm not sure your roster spot is guaranteed given the investment and your lack of availability. And now they're pivoting to a guy like Chase Young. And Carl Granderson has obviously battled his way into at least the rotation. So I think all those guys, and we'll see what happens with Isaiah Foskey, right, the second-round pick. He's kind of the wild card there. But they've given themselves some options at that position. Like I said before, every team needs pass rushing help, and it seems like forever we've talked about that edge pass rush position opposite of Cam Jordan. And who knows, maybe if it all comes to fruition and a couple of the young guys emerge, maybe we are starting to see, you know, a more of a diminished role for Cam Jordan. But until, and that's showing him the door, obviously, but until somebody beats him out, you know, he's still the guy. But I think ultimately the Saints they needed help in the immediate time frame, but also the idea, right, that, look, Cam's not going to be here forever, and who knows how much longer he has as a Saint.
So with Sean Fazan, Sean Fazan, Fox 8's the way to follow over there on X. Sean, so how does that work with the cap? You know this a lot better than I do, dude. There were like around $15 million under. This is all 13 count since it's guaranteed to the cap this year. Could they push it around? Because it was reported 1 year, $13 million. So yeah, is it just simple math where they got two and some change?
Well, it depends on the structure of the contract. I haven't actually seen the actual – I've seen the numbers, but I haven't seen the actual structure. In most cases, recently, the Saints have added avoidable year or two to spread out a signing bonus so the cap hit isn't as much in that first year. But the Saints have done things a little differently with the cap this year, so they had enough space to take the entire $13 million on. I'm not sure if they've done that. I'm not sure how much of it is a signing bonus and how much of it is actual base salary in terms of, you know, the entire $13 million, and that would probably dictate whether or not they, you know, decided to add the voidable years. But they had the cap space to absorb it all. They generally don't do that. They generally add a voidable year or two to make the numbers work, whatever they want in terms of how low they wanted the cap, right, number to be in 2024. But it's a significant investment for a guy that, if he does well, he'll command that big contract. But if that happens, he would have done well, and the Saints would have gotten what they, right, needed out of him.
Yeah, no doubt. At the end of the day, it's what you kind of need right there. Right? The reason I ask is that, look, and we touched on it before. We'll get to the other signings they had, but do you think they look draft or free agency for safety help there now that they've released Marcus May?
That's a good question. I could see them still being in the market for a veteran guy here within this second or third wave that we're in a free agency, again, at a low cost, not at a premier cost, but also looking in the draft as well to address that position. Jordan Howden is a guy I know they like, and I know he stepped up in certain, sure, situations last year. But I also think that he's a guy that was a rookie last year. I don't know if it's a guarantee you pencil him in. You know, you have some of your own guys. You know, Jonathan Abram was a guy that stepped up last year when given the opportunity, in particular the Tampa Bay game on the road last year. So I think another bargain type deal could fill that on the free agent market, but also I could certainly see them addressing that position with a draft investment as well.
Mm-hmm. So we did get to hear this week from a couple of signings in quarterback Peterman here as well, and when you look at him and you listen to Cedric Wilson Jr., the receiver, it seems like very purposeful moves and acquisitions, having worked in the system. I almost think the term player coach kind of a thing is going to help, right? I mean, that's how I look at these moves. I know they didn't move the needle, much less here locally, but is that how you look at it? Everything right now being done purposefully to bring in people to help facilitate learning this offense. And what stood out to me was Wilson said, hey, it's going to take a bit. You got to get in the books here. You're gonna have to do your homework and learn it. But once you do, you're off and running. But it's not going to be a learn it in a month thing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a given. And I think, you know, you get some guys with some familiarity with the verbiage and the system in place, what they want to do. And obviously, Peterman with Janaco, the quarterback coach, obviously, in Chicago the last couple of years. I think the Cedric Wilson signing was certainly interesting because he's a big-ish receiver that can play the middle of the field, and that's something that they probably need. And then, you know, I was going through my depth chart before the Wilson and the Morgan signings, and I mean, they just had three guys only. It really hit me right there. I was like, wow, that's it. I know they're a young receiver, but I didn't realize they were just young and nothing else with the three receivers, Shahid, Olave and A.C. Perry at the time. So he needed a fourth receiver. It was probably a bigger need that people were glossing over, and Wilson's got some experience in the system. He's got some good experience and just in the NFL in general, been in a couple of different systems as well. So he is a guy that I think could get on the field at a pretty low cost. I think he's the only one, Gus, that has signed more than a one-year deal with the Saints. Wilson, I'm talking about. And then Peterman, look, that caught me off guard. I'm going to be honest with you. I had a feeling they were going to go with a veteran quarterback in the backup sort of market, if you will. Threw some names out on my podcast. Nathan Peterman never came up. So that's an interesting signing. And one, to me, I don't know. That, to me, was a faith in Jake Haener signing, if I'm being honest, because I don't think it's going to be particularly – Jake Haener winning a competition with Nathan Peterman, to me, wouldn't be the craziest or the most surprising thing in the world. And I know they think highly of Jake Haener, but he's got to obviously learn the system. But of all the names that were, I guess, available or they could have went with at that veteran backup, Nate Peterman was not someone I had on my radar.
It's interesting. I saw a tweet a little bit ago by somebody in Pittsburgh at a radio station, Andrew Filippino. He said, the Saints offered the Steelers a fifth-round pick and a future late-round pick for Kenny Pickett, but the Steelers took the Eagles package. I had said, you know, late last week and early this week, I was just having some, you know, hey, what about offering a fifth for, you know, Justin Fields, make him the next, you know, Taysom Hill and things of that nature. But are you surprised to hear about Pickett?
Absolutely. I saw that tweet, and if that is indeed true, I was a little bit caught off guard by that, just because he would be a player that I thought he was going to eventually battle with Russell Wilson. I didn't think it was a foregone conclusion that he would lose a competition to Russell Wilson, but obviously things would stop really fast in Pittsburgh, where he was on the market. That report or that tweet was accurate. The Saints had interest. I do know they liked him coming out of Pitt. They met with him. They spoke with him. So he was a guy that I know they liked was with draft was at 2022. So not the craziest connection in the world in terms of just like, you know, the Saints have some knowledge of the player, but I didn't think they would be in that market. But then again, I'm not sure the Saints knew going into free agency that Kenny Pickett would be available until last week at some point when the deal was made for Russell Wilson. So that's interesting to have that sort of out there, because I hadn't heard that before.
We got 2 minutes left here, and I'm going to reserve it for what I just saw Adam Schefter tweet. Chase Young is undergoing a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp, per sources. The expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Now, teams, he says, were aware of his condition. Sean, if you can only imagine what Saints fans are thinking right now. You just paid $13 million for a guy that may be ready for the start of the season.
Man, I just said a lot of good things about Chase Young, and then all of a sudden we end the conversation with a neck procedure and may not be available until, you said maybe training camp? Is that what the tweet said?
The expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Teams were aware of his neck issue that is expected to sideline him into training camp. So I guess by September he'll be good to go.
Well, let's hope so. Just a lot of money into Chase Young, and here we are in a position to be. We just spoke very highly of him, and I do think if he gets on the field, he can be a force and can be a player that can certainly contribute and add some speed and add some athleticism to their defense, a defense that sort of fell off the map a little bit last year. So let's certainly hope so, Gus, but that's not exactly the news I was expecting to hear a day after one of their biggest free agent signing of 2024 free agent class.
Well, there you have it. you know what? The Pels take on the Nets tonight. Why don't you go watch some basketball, Sean? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, as always, for the time, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. Appreciate it.
All right. Sean Fazan, Fox 8 is the way to follow. Yeah, I'm texting people about this, and I know Schefter's saying teams were aware of that. How aware is what I'm getting on my phone right now? How do you feel, Saints fans? You just paid $13 million for somebody that's not going to be ready until the season starts. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Do you want him just ready for the season? But I hear neck I hear procedure. You know. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We're going to be at 10 Hotline, 10 Guest Line, 262-8222. Way to find out some info from Ruderman if you need their services. As there are new sponsors to our caller hotline and guest line, 800-998-1003. As, again, Adam Schefter 6 minutes ago. New Saints defensive end Chase Young, who signed his one-year $13 million deal with New Orleans, undergoing a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp. Per sources, the expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Teams were aware of his neck issue, and the Saints were comfortable moving ahead with it. So, just honest question to you Saints fans out there. Does that make you comfortable or uncomfortable about that? A player that's dealt with injuries, I hear neck. If you've known anyone that's had neck or back problems, they never get fixed or helped when that happens. But $13 million is a big gamble for somebody. Now, again, look, I guess you need him ready for week one, right? Jimmy, how do you feel, sir? Thank you for calling the show.
Hey, buddy. Hey, look, I just wanted to say, first off, yeah, good luck to Southern Miss. I know they're playing Ole Miss in baseball tonight. I know Peterman had kind of disappointing signing. I mean, I just see him as kind of a journeyman, a low-level journeyman. Maybe, Nick Mullins would have been a good fit. I don't know if he's staying with the Vikings or not, but I don't know what that really says about Hayner and what they believe with him. The reason I called is, looking back, Gus, that during the tough years, the lean years, the 80s and 90s, and really the mid-90s, Jim Haslett, Ditka, the Saints weren't really a destination for free agents. Like, we would get players, Gus, that were, like, really on the back end, that really didn't want to come here unless they had no other choice other than retirement. We were not a free agent destination. I mean, I remember Brian Cox back into his career coming here, just cashing a check. And that was kind of what we were back then, because we were known for kind of being like a lower rung NFL franchise. And then Drew Brees and Sean Payton happened, and players wanted to be in and around that system. They wanted to be around winners. We had a winning culture. We won a Super Bowl. Players wanted to come here, and it was very easy to attract free agents. I kind of just see this whole deal as, it's hard to find good defensive ends. This guy's kind of becoming a journeyman, even though he was drafted high, this young kid. But for them to kind of reach, and now knowing full well he needed neck surgery and all that, obviously we're cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I kind of think now we're kind of getting back into the same, I wouldn't say as bad as it was, but we're coming down from the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era where we could eat, just, invite people down, feeding some crawfish and some gumbo and charbroiled oysters, and they would sign on, especially wide receivers. They wanted to catch the ball from Drew Brees. Offensive players wanted to play under Sean Payton. And now I think that we're moving back in the direction of, okay, is Dennis Allen he's got one more year maybe, and the fans are kind of on the fence. And how will attendance be next year? Because, a lot of Saints fans are passionate, and they're frustrated with Dennis Allen. They think he's not the right fit, and they're going to vote via, their pocketbook and not attend or whatever. And I think that we're moving back in the direction of right now not being a real free agent destination like we once were. I think that kind of just sums up where I'm at with Chase Young. I don't know. But at the same time, I feel like our two biggest free agent moves this offseason so far were at our need positions. The D end, Cam Jordan's getting older, and linebacker, the kid from Kansas City, Willie Gay. But, yeah, I mean, like, Cam Jordan to me, people keep talking like, oh, yeah, he's going to – we'll be lucky if we squeeze out one more good year out of him, Gus. What is he? He's pushing 36 now or something, 35? I mean, he's had a great career, but at the same time, at best, I think this is his final season at full speed as a starter, maybe. And that's a thin position. So I think it had a lot to do with Chase going for the most amount of money, us not having that many that much leverage like we once did under the Peyton Drew Brees era. And, you know, it was a position of need.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it was funny. I'm actually was waiting for it. And here it is. Nick Underhill has good sources within the organization. I said, I'm waiting for the Underhill response to this. Adam Schefter tweet. And Nick Underhill tweets, injury from last preseason was more significant than most realize. He played with it all last season. So that's probably the reason why the team's comfortable with it. It was an injury that he actually played the entire season with and still had 7.5 sacks and 70-plus pressures. So maybe this is one of those things is, hey, go take care of it so you don't have to go through it an entire season. But again, curious. You knew the organization had to somehow, some way, counter the fact that he's not, you know, he's having a neck procedure. So, again, I was kind of joking. Nick's normally on top of it and gets information quickly when stories like this come out. And sure enough. So, he's saying the injury was from last preseason. Again, Chase Young played with the 49ers last year. And I guess I'm deducing from that is, go take care of it now. We know about it. Schefter said teams knew about it, so it was something they knew about and were comfortable with. So this comes across as, go take care of it now. You're a veteran. You know how to stay in shape, conditioning-wise, do all those different aspects of it. Be ready for the start of the season healthy and not have to deal with something that, again, involves your neck. So that's something that I was expecting to hear and wanting to hear to see what's the other side of it, if that makes any sense to it. Chase did speak yesterday with local media members, and this is what he had to say as to why he chose the Saints.
Just a culture, man, just a tradition. You know, just a Saint, it's one of those places that, you know, a winning culture. And, you know, that's what I wanted to, you know, be around. And, you know, I feel like this is a place for me.
So there you go. More from Chase, and he said, in signing with the Saints overall.
Man, just excited to be a Saint, man. You know, just excited to help this team. Grateful, you know, for the opportunity, and you know, my plan is to make the most of it, and you know, help this team to get to that one common goal.
A lot of people say this is a one-year prove-it deal. What do you think?
I'm really not excited to prove anything to anybody. I'm just going to go out there and be the best Chase Young I can be.
All right. What does he feel he's bringing to the team?
In all phases of the game, man, you know, I'm going to let my play do the talking. But, you know, I definitely want to bring my best and put my best foot forward.
Sean Fazan from Fox 8 kind of touched on. There's some narratives around him, obviously. Did he play every play hard? Injuries, things of that nature. He was asked yesterday about those narratives, and does he pay much attention to it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like in life it's all journeys. You know, I really don't hear what people say. You know, you can say what you want. I know, make a living to get there. You know, people have families, but at the end of the day, I'm a man of God, and it's a journey. And you know, we're gonna see. We're gonna see what happens.
One of the things as well that he kept bringing up yesterday was just the opportunity to, while he was saying not to prove anything, he just wants to go out there and play football.
I'm just, every time I step in the field, I'm just grateful for, you know, just a chance to do it. You know, all it takes in this league is one play, and I understand that. You know, this organization, the Saints, gave me another, you know, opportunity to, you know, fight for that trophy and that number one goal. And I'm going to do my best to, you know, make sure they know they didn't pick the wrong one.
One of the other things that he brought up, too, was how he's been characterized in his career.
You know, injuries definitely, like, you know, hindered A few things, but it's all good. It's all about the process. You know, all about the journey. You know, I know what I can do, and you know, I'm a man of God. He's still giving me opportunities to prove. So we here.
Quick break. We come back. I see Mark's on the line on the Ruderman Can hotline. We'll go to you, sir. Still got a few more bites from Chase Young, who talked about Dennis Allen is starting the defense playing alongside Cam Jordan. Again, the news of the day, Adam Schefter tweeting 14 minutes ago. He's going to undergo a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp for sources. The expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Nick Underhill, NewOrleans.football, tweeting 5 minutes ago, the injury was from last preseason, and it was more significant than most realized. He played with it all of last season. Schefter saying all the teams that spoke with him were aware of the situation. We'll be back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
New alert from Golden Motors. 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on all 2023 and 2024 1500 Silverado models for qualifying customers through GM Financial. In case you did not get that, news alert from Golden Motors. 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on all 2023 and 2024 models. This deal is good through March 31st at Golden Motors, Highway 3235 on the back road and cutoff. Chevy together. Let's drive. Price is priority. Not compatible with any other incentives.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Mike Greenberg. Green.
This is a time of rebirth in Washington. That city, that fan base, that franchise, and everyone associated with it has been dying, begging, and pleading to get out from under the stench of Dan Snyder. And the way to begin it with a bang is to attract Caleb Williams, the first generational prospect of the NIL era, which means he has unprecedented control over where he goes. He's a person who makes millions and millions of dollars. You can't watch a football game during the season and not see a commercial with him in it. So he's okay if he doesn't go to the NFL immediately. He's okay if things don't work out fast. You have to play the long game. And if he decides, and this is a big if he decides that the long game he wants to play is back home for him in Washington, then the Cliff Kingsbury hiring feels like it makes a lot of sense in that regard as well.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Pels taking on the Nets. Going to hear a little bit more from Willie Green here in a quick sec. Taking your phone calls on the Ruderman Can hotline and guest line. Give them a buzz, 262-822-22. Just want to pass along this. According to reports out there, Bill Reiter, NBA insider, CBS Sports, Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, Gabe Vincent are expected to miss the rest of the season for the Lakers. Vanderbilt is a guy that's really kept Brandon Ingram in check in the past. Very good defender. It's a big loss for them. Something to keep an eye on from that situation. Again, we've been talking about what just happened a couple minutes ago, where Adam Schefter tweeted that Chase Young's going to have a neck procedure done. Should be ready for the start of the season, but it's going to last into training camp. So we're taking your phone calls, thoughts on that. Nick Underhill, NewOrleans.football, saying the injury happened last preseason and he played all season with this injury. So if you deduce those two things, which Schefter also saying teams that spoke with Chase Young were aware of it, seems kind of like one of those things. Hey, let's go get it taken care of now. We'd love for you to be here. OTAs, minicamp, and all that stuff. We need you ready for the season and healthy. So clearly they felt comfortable enough with it. You have to imagine medicals were done or took a look at it in order to give him $13 million for a year. I mean, that's how you have to look at it, right? Saints comfortable enough in doing so. So to the phone lines we go. Mark from the Best Bank. What you got, sir? How are you today?
Hey, Gus. How you doing, buddy? First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, man.
I was just calling. No problem. I was just calling to let you know Jimmy was absolutely right what he said about this organization and the direction they're going in. Me and my brother, after 42 years, decided to give up our ticket because of this. Because I don't want to ever see him go back. But you know what? It's like it looks just like it just looks too familiar.
So I can't blame you for feeling that way. And I think you're not alone, right?
No, I'm not.
I would say this.
I even tried to offer people to buy the tickets instead of giving them back, you know, I couldn't even get anybody. I talked to 20 people about, you know, trying to get, signing them over to them if they wanted them, you know. Nobody
Mark,
wanted them.
We talked about this during the season.
That yes, you did.
About if perception eventually becomes reality. And
right.
How much of that is the case, too, right? I mean, they could feel they're making the right moves. They could feel things are happening and all of that. But it gets harder and harder to sell that.
Thank
when
you.
During the season.
That was another thing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
sorry.
Mark, it's, you know, I'm sorry. But, I mean, it's like you're watching the offense not do things to help its quarterback, to not help itself, to not give the right. Like, you're watching that. And then when you're told, we're just going to practice on it, going to work on it. I'm like, okay, well, what is that plan? What is that work? And there's Alvin Kamara again, you know, saying we need to be coached a certain way, or I went to Pete
exactly.
And gave, like, it's just hard because, we're not coaches, and I don't pretend to be. We're not stupid. Our eyes see what our eyes
exactly.
See, right? And that's the
exactly.
Thing. So what I've been saying here this offseason is we're hearing what I think many of us would have liked to have heard 2 years ago. You would feel differently, and you probably wouldn't have given up your season tickets. If
right.
After Sean Payton says, adios muchachos, they come out and be like, hey, we love what Dennis has done. He's a good defensive coordinator. We're going to get a staff around him. But it's time to get our house in order. We want to retool. We want to get younger and faster. We want to be sustainable for a couple of seasons. Not saying our window's closed, but we have to understand that, you know, we need to remodel the house a little bit, right? And if
they
I hear that.
They want to come out and say that they're
rebuilding. Right. If you hear that, Mark. I think you're good with that, but that's not what they've done, and they've
exactly,
gone about acting
feel,
like it not.
I feel like they're in denial. They think, you know, they come out and say, oh, we got the right people in place and everything like that, and that's the furthest from the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, my only hope for you, for us that cover the team, and it's what I've said in the analogy that I've used to when it comes to what the Pelicans did. And with the Pelicans.
See, I'd rather spend my money on the Pelicans fan.
No, I know. So and that's what I've been saying. To me, the analogy is David Griffin, 2 seasons ago, or I guess 3, because this is Willie's 3rd year, Stan Van Gundy didn't work. 1 year. And you knew he was going to get crushed. I mean, you know, it hadn't gone well. I mean, that's putting it mildly, right? The Zion thing had been a fiasco. No, right. The everything had been a disaster. And, you know, they had the exit meetings. They did it a press conference together. And then, like, a week and a half later, boop, there it is. Pelicans yep. And Stan Van Gundy part ways. I'm like, what? They just had their postseason press conference together. But, and I said at the time, you had every right to say he's under fire. You know, hey, maybe it's not the right. He's earned that, right? Nothing was going right.
And then this signing of Chase Young, signing another injured player. Okay, that's something they've been doing for years. You know, signing injured prone players and trying to get them on the cheap. You know.
Well, I would say this, Mark. When I look at that, and especially because now at the very least, you can say you're taking a risk. You were probably taking a risk to begin with, but now you're risking a player that's battle with injuries, and again, that's a part of the body, neck, back, those things. Don't
exactly, you never know.
Get better, knees. You know, I mean, things of that nature. So it does speak. Like I was texting, you know, Chef Scotty just now, and he's like, you know, this 4K. It sounds desperate. I'm like, this is a team that needed help and needs to get help, and this is what happens when you have a certain amount of money left and
thank
a cap,
you very
and,
much.
And go with it. So.
And I don't have nothing against Derek Carr, but my opinion, I agree 100% with what you said last year, all right? Go with Jameis. You get some of that money off the books and everything like that. Don't sign card, you know, to somebody to a big contract.
Right.
You know, you said that last year, and I thought that was the best thing they should have did. But, you know, that's why we're not in the organization. And I'm sorry, but you know what? I just can't put up with it no more. I don't want to go back to those days before when I first got my season tickets. I don't want to ever see that again, where they're signing people like Richard Todd, Kenny Stabler, and all that, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And like I said, I think that's the thing that really stands out to me is that this is – what it is, and this is where they are, and I think as some of the guests that we've had on here as well have talked about it, you know, Mickey and them have never really sort of had to kind of rebuild. I guess you can look at it when Sean Payton, they sort of did to that extent, kind of reset and things of that nature. But look, this is completely now like, I would say this, and you would agree with me, Mark, on this. This is completely now Loomis's and Alice T. Like, this is no fingerprints, exactly. No nothing of Sean Payton. So, if it doesn't
it's all
work,
on them.
There's no other person to say it's not.
And,
right?
and I hate to say this, what I'm getting ready to say, but now I'm seeming to think that the real person that was in the office, that you know, in the personnel department that helped was Terry Fontenot. Look what he's doing in Atlanta.
You're not the first to feel that.
Yep. So, all right, Gus. Thank you, man. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Oh, man. I mean, look, let's just be honest. It's a damper, right? It's a damper. I mean, it could all be fine. It could be procedural. I will tell you this. There are way more players than you know and don't know. Trust me, right? If you walk LaSalle Park, you probably see a player or two on crutches or whatever, and you're like, wait, I know that guy. Not every single surgery or anything gets reported, and you might find out later. If DA talks about it or stuff like that, or, you know, the Pels, like, players in the offseason get cleanup procedures all the time. Is this a cleanup procedure? I don't know. Is this a, I don't know the injury. Right, I mean, nothing's been reported. It's a neck procedure. Is it a disc? Is it inflammation? Is it, you know, a pinching of the nerve? Is it injecting cartilage? Is it? I don't know. I don't know. So I can just go on what's being said about it. If Nick Underhill says he played an entire season with it, maybe there's discomfort, but it didn't prevent him from playing a sport that applies pressure on the neck, one way, shape, or form. I mean, the helmet isn't a ball cap. It's heavy. Applies pressure to you. And you guys know what I'm talking about. If you have ever had a pinched nerve in your neck, a pinched nerve in your back, anything from that nature, the light is the most sensitive of pressure affects it. So if he was able to play football with it, while it sounds like, I'm like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all signing? I'm just saying, if he was able to play an entire season with it, then on the severity list, I don't know if I can put it that high, right? I mean, Vander Esch, the Cowboys linebacker, knocked out of a game, looked like a dirty play where an offensive lineman pushed him in the back, looked like his neck really compacted. He's retiring after 6 years. I mean, that's like the highest of the severity levels when it comes to a neck injury in situation like that. If you were able to play an entire season after sustaining it in the preseason, then several doctors and several things must have happened for you to feel that you can do that, which is why I think some teams were okay with it. That said, as Mike Tripoli from New Orleans Football just posted as well too, and I agree with what he's saying, it also does explain the market value. How many teams are going to go into a multi-year deal with a player? Or a high-value deal with a player that is still needing to overcome injury? So, to an extent, you can use whatever word you want. Is it desperate? Is it in need? What have you. But the Saints are where they are. Fires are under some butts. They haven't made the postseason for 3 years. Risk reward. Former number two pick, 7.5 sacks a year ago with this injury. If we can get it fixed, he can be healthy. He can help. Risk worth taking. But let's again, not be misguided. I mean, that's where the Saints are right now. They need to take risks. They have to fix things. They got rid of an entire offense. They have to change philosophy. Again, they're doing things they should have done 2 years ago. So now you're behind the gun. Is this Mark again? Another Mark? Hello? Buddy? Hey, is Mark on there? Okay, I see a Mark on line three. So that's kind of what I'm trying to deduce this here or speculate about it here in real time as to maybe part of the reason why that's the case. So let's see what takes place with it. But one of the things he talked about yesterday was that he was excited to play with Cam Jordan.
Like that. Yeah, man, that's definitely something big for me that I'm excited to do. Future Hall of Famer, a guy who I'm going to spend time with, who I can just absorb the game from. I'm definitely excited about Big Cam. So,
his thoughts on Dennis Allen?
The coach would I can just tell he's going to hold me to the highest standard, and I can just tell that's just going to make me the best player that I can be.
The other aspects of the defense he was asked about.
We have great defense, Tyron, Cam, Carl, Pete, DeMario. I mean, I feel like it's weapons all over the field. My goal is just going to be the best Chase Young that I can be. And, I definitely, plan to add a good piece to be a part of this defense.
Quick break. Still some time to get your calls in here quickly. Matt Moscone after further review is coming up at the top of the hour. It's the Sports Hangover. Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
At 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Saints and Green returns. Offensive lineman, Olusemeka Udo. Play the Vikings. He's agreed to a deal, 6'6", 325-year NFL veteran, who was originally selected by the Vikings in the sixth round back in the 2019 draft out of Elon University. In five seasons, 43 regular season games, 18 starts at right guard and left tackle, started one postseason game at right tackle. That gives you an idea of a little depth, perhaps, the team announcing some moves there. Uncle Earl, thank you for giving us a call here, sir. How are you today?
Goose, happy, Tuesday,
sir. I was thought it was still day. Very early in the week.
hey, Goose. Yeah, it's not too early for Tito's, let me tell you that. Hey, man, I was watching some film on that guy from Minnesota. I like it, man, from the little film that I did see. Anything to give us depth on that offensive line, right tackle, guard, anything will help, man. If we can get Penning, I think if we can get Penning to be in a position to where the offense we're going to run, and especially a running offense, and get that guy from Penn. You hit the nail on the head, Goose. Get that guy from Penn State. Mm-hmm. Penn State, man. Build from the inside out. Look, we got enough players. I think we need one more wide receiver. I'm not sold on Olave being a number one. It's no disrespect to him. I think we need another big Michael Thomas type physical guy if we can get that. Now, Goose, the thing on Chase Young, the Saints wouldn't have signed him if they would have known that this has just got to be a small procedure just to clean up, right? But it makes me nervous. Say he could be ready for training camps in freaking July. Like, that's where we're in March, April, May, June. That's only 5 or 6 months, man. That sounds like a pretty damn serious freaking surgery. Well, I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor.
It's your neck. So, I don't know anything other than the two tweets that have come out about him in terms of giving you information, right? Scheffler saying teams knew about it and they were comfortable moving forward with it. Nick Underhill has tweeted from New Orleans.Football that it's something that happened in the preseason. It was more significant than people realized, and he played all season with it. If you're able to play all season with it, was it because they didn't realize it was significant? Or did he play with it with them feeling comfortable with it? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer. He hasn't spoken about it. The team hasn't talked about it. I don't know anything further on it. If I'm y'all, Saints fans, I'm hoping what it is, it's, well, let's take care of it now, so you don't have to worry about it during the season. You're a veteran. I'm sure you know how to get in shape. I need you for week one, right? I mean, let's just be honest. At the end of the day, Hunt, go get the quarterback, right? I mean, I know there's more into that. But so I do think that might be part of it. But at the same time, I could completely understand most of my text messages right now. Boy, the Saints are desperate. Boy, look, they're just, well, I mean, they didn't have any other options. They're doing this and that. And maybe Chase goes to the highest bidder, you know, because of the situation. You got to get whatever money you can when you're dealing with an injury like this. It's just, when you think of football, you think the neck. Maybe that's why Titans, Panthers, Saints, only three teams that were reported that brought him in to talk to him.
And Goose, it's one slight slap to the head or move this way. He's going to be out 5 or 6 more weeks. I'm not, man, look, you know I'm a diehard, like born and raised here and everything. Till we do something in a front office with Loomis and DA, man, I don't know it. I hope this thing gets better and he has like 14 sacks next year. And
right.
I say let's keep getting offensive linemen and stuff like that. But the decisions we make and we continue to make, Goose, is just
right.
I don't know, man. It's just freaking bummer, man. With the front office,
all the way, yeah, it puts a damper on it, doesn't it? It does. It puts a damper on it.
Hey, Goose, always a pleasure, baby. Have a great one here.
You too, man. Appreciate it. I hear you. Gonna be at Evangeline Lounge tonight. Pelicans official watch party. The Pelican will be there, Pierre. Members of the dance team, goodies. Friday will be Wrong Iron. If you want to go check out some Pels games here tonight, taking on the Nets at 6:30. But I got to close out the show by wishing a very happy birthday to Pawpaw, my dad. It's my dad's birthday today. If you have known me, all the years that we go out into remotes, you've probably seen Dad and Mom. Super supportive. I don't know what I would do without you. And secondly, thank goodness you're still around, because you got to watch Carver later today so I can go do the watch party. No, in all honesty, seriously. Pawpaw and Carver are like best friends. It's a joke. Where's Pawpaw? He tells me all the time. I'm like, hey, what about your dad, man? No, but that's awesome. Obviously, I must be doing a decent job because I learned from you. So happy birthday, man. I hope you've had a good day today. I'll see you in a little bit. And if you show up for the watch party, I'll buy you a beverage. In the meantime, Matt Moscone, and after further review, is up next. You've been listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New York.